It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Kreshap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaff.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Hideki Matsuyama gets 2025 on the PGA Tour off to a rousing start with a 35-under-par record-setting 4 days out in Kapalua at the Century Tournament of Champions. He wins by 3 shots over Colin Morikawa. Sungjae Im finished third at 29-under-par. There were birdies to be had at the Plantation course there in Maui. Congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama for his win. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, I sit down with Steve Holden. If you know golf in the state of Arkansas, you know the name Steve Holden. It's going to be a great interview. I hope you will enjoy it. At UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, they are dedicated to keeping you in the game. From sports injuries to joint replacement, they provide world-class care right here in Arkansas. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. Back with more From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, right after this.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. Steve Holden, a name known around the state of Arkansas as a golfing icon, has built several golf courses and isn't a bad player in his own right and is a friend to everyone. On the tee, Steve Holden. Steve, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. You grew up in Pine Bluff.
Yep.
Rosswood Country Club.
Yes.
What do you remember about old Rosswood?
Well, you know, really it was a great place because of the fact it was so cheap. It's a great story how I got started. Had a mill manager at the second largest mill, paper mill in the whole world. His name was Bill Heman, and he wanted to play golf, and he wanted to get his supervisors playing golf also, and so they go to Pine Bluff Country Club. Well, he goes to them, says, hey, I got 5 or 6 guys I want to get memberships for and also for me. And they said, well, it's fine for you, Mr. Hammond, but said, you know, they probably won't meet the recommendation, you know. And so Pine Bluff Country Club was like that in the early days, big time. And so
it's one of the original founders of the Arkansas State Golf Association.
Yeah. I mean, it goes all the way back. And I grew up at the house of the big man, Mr. Smart, you know. And So the deal was that Mr. Hinman didn't know what to do, so he went back and he was talking to his father. And he said, man, we got a problem here. He said, I don't know what to do. He loved golf. And his daddy said, well, how many acres does the International Paper Company have around there? And he said, I don't know, you know. He didn't say, I don't know, but, you know, say 125,000 acres, you know. And so he said, well, I think I'll just go ahead and build one. Well, that gave him the go-ahead because his daddy was chairman of the board of IP. And that's how Rosswood got there.
Yeah.
And so they built it, and then they had the clubhouse, and the members paid their dues to pay for the clubhouse. But IP built the golf course. And the dues, I remember my dad telling me, I wasn't about 7 or 8 then, but he said they were $18 a month.
Wow.
That's what they were. And wow. I mean, you're talking about a golf course that in Arkansas, no golf course looks as close to Augusta as it did.
Well, because of the tree lined.
It had the gigantic pine trees, yep, just like Augusta.
Yep.
And it was built, you know, fantastic, you know. A lot of fun to play. Had birdie holes, you know, and had hard holes.
What do you remember about growing up down there that really got you to fall in love with the game of golf?
To tell you the truth, you couldn't do anything. We all played baseball, you know. And then it got to be, you know, when you're in junior high and stuff, I think when people have growth spurts, different things like that, they decide whether they ought to play baseball or whatever. And for me, I started real young at 5 years old, just like I remember the first tournament I ever played in Pine Bluff. We didn't have it one a year, you know, and they played 9 holes at, for the 11-year-old 9-hole group. We played 9 at Pine Bluff Country Club, 9 at JC's, and 9 at Rosswood. And the competition I had was we played 27 holes, and I won by 28 shots.
No. You're pretty good.
No, I wasn't good. There was just no competition because we didn't have junior golf.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, either your dad took you out and you played, or someone that was a friend.
You self-taught?
Pretty much, yeah.
No lessons?
My dad.
Your dad?
Golf Digest. You know?
I mean, yeah.
And to tell you the truth, really, who taught me play golf was Ben Hogan from the 5 Modern Fundamentals of Golf.
Mm-hmm.
I took that and, you know, just played like that. And in my golf career, I was real lucky that after college, I actually got to meet Ben Hogan in person, you know, because I worked for a guy that played on the Pro Tour, played in several Masters, named Shelly Mayfield. That was at Brook Hollow Golf Club in Dallas, and I worked at Dallas Country Club, and it was kind of cool, you know, to get to meet a guy like that.
Movers and shakers.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the golf world, it was at that time, because, I mean, Ben Hogan was making golf clubs, and they were rivaling everybody because they would actually be the only set of clubs. It didn't matter whether you got it from Wilson, Titleist, anybody else. The only set of clubs you knew that the swing weight was going to be exact on each club.
Hogan's.
It was the only one. And I mean, you know, working in a golf shop, we'd check it, you know.
And oh, yeah. Yeah.
It would be right.
No doubt. No doubt about that. When did you think that, okay, I want to be competitive at this? I mean, high school? Did you have a high school golf team?
Kind of 11 years old when I won that by 28 shots. I said, heck, this something I kind of like. I had my picture in the paper, you know, and
yeah,
got to go to Harrison, Arkansas, and play in the state JC. They called it JC tournament back then.
Right.
And got to go up there, and I was a kid that had car sickness, so I threw up the whole way up there. You know?
Well, I can imagine driving to Harrison, yeah.
From Pine Bluff, yeah. As flat as a pancake. Yeah.
But you got over the car sickness. Yep. How'd you play up there?
Not well. And I was not very good at junior golf. Probably 17s when I started playing better, you know, there in high school. I had some scores in the 60s in golf matches. And then when I was 18, when I was 17, I caddied for Stan Lee in the Rosswood Invitational, which was the big tournament back then. And he won it when I caddied for him. Then the next year, I was old enough to play, and I played, and I beat him by 3 shots.
What did he say to you?
Congratulations. We were real good friends because his best friend was a guy named Jim Spain, who was from Pine Bluff. And that's how Stan got to UCA. Did you know he went to school at UCA?
And then LSU. And he can be an intimidating force when you walk on the first tee and you're playing against him.
He's the most intimidating person that I ever played against. And, you know, I was more intimidated by him than when I qualified in the mid-am, and my first match was against four-time national champion Jay Siegel.
Wow.
I promise you, Stan Lee, it was a force that it was a huge shadow.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't imagine.
No.
I mean, who else do you know could drive it by you 25 yards and it looked like he swung in slow motion? You know?
Yeah. He's pretty good. Oh, Rosswood has seen some great players go through there, not just members in the Pine Bluff area, but tournaments as well, right?
Yeah, in the tournament area. You know, all the players from, you know, that was pretty close to us, you know, like Memphis, we had a lot of good Memphis players came. I don't know if you ever knew Charlie Callaway from Mississippi. He was a real good
Mississippi
player.
I've heard that name, but, yeah, I never knew him.
He came, played, and Tommy Stoball, you know, from Pine Bluff, he won it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good when I was growing up as a kid.
You played one time. You were telling me earlier before we started recording that you went home and told your wife that you played with a tour player.
Yeah. Actually, I've done that twice. Not to her, but the first time I did it was I qualified through local qualifying in Dallas for U.S. Open, and we went to sectional then. And I was paired with Fred Couples.
He
was playing golf at the University of Houston.
Houston, yep.
And
Jim Nance was his roommate down
there. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I didn't make it, and he didn't make it. But I went back and told, you know, the real famous golfer I worked for, Shelly Mayfield. And he said, "How did you play?" And I said, "Not very good." And he said, "Who did you play with?" I said, I played with that Couples kid from Houston down there." And he said, "How did he play?" And I said, "He didn't play that well, but I said he outdrove me 30 yards every time." Yeah. I mean, it didn't matter what.
Oh, my gosh. And so you knew that, okay, he's probably going to.
Yeah. I told Shelly that day, I said, "This guy can't miss being on pro tour. I mean, just can't miss."
Yeah.
And then one day I was playing in Pine Bluff, you know, and we had this kid come in there. He really wasn't a kid at this time. He's about 20. And
blonde hair,
yeah,
long and down the back,
he had long hair down the back, and you know, and I knew of him already, you know, before I'd played of him, I'd heard of him, but everything you ever hear, it was bigger. That's the reason why he was Big John Daly, you know, because it was really bigger than a lot of people would say. But then through the years, it got to where they'd say bigger things than it was, you know. But he, I played with him, and he hit it by me. You know, it didn't matter whether I hit it in the dead center of the club face and he hit it dead in the hill, he would still outdrive me 30 to 40 yards.
And back then, what people need to realize, if you didn't hit it in the center of the club face back then,
exactly,
it would not go that far. Right. Nowadays, the clubs are so forgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's saying a lot.
Oh, yeah. I remember the first forgiving club he ever got was a Kevlar. And Kevlar, you know, for some reason hit it further than a wooden head. I'm not sure why, but
yeah.
I guess just a little harder than that fiber insert. But he hit so far past me the whole day that I went home and I told my wife, I said, "I played with a tour player today." She said, "In Pine Bluff, Arkansas?" And she said, "There's not any tour player here." I said, "Well," I said, "he's not really a tour player, but," I said, "there's no way he won't be." Which that brings me to something when I was listening to Josh McNulty that, you know, his dad and I are good friends.
Wes?
Yep. Yeah, I had a lot to do with Wes being able to play competitive golf. He got his lessons from McEwen.
Yep.
And then I went over and took his money at Rosswood as a young person. Yeah. Ask him.
I will. I will.
And so the three longest hitters I knew of at the time, it was Bobby Franks, six-time second-place finisher, I think. Andy Franks, two-time long driving champion. And Mike Dunaway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You got those three guys there, and it rained a bunch the night before. And so Rosswood dead flat, you know. Yep. So, I mean, the ball will not roll.
Plug.
After that deal. And I will promise you, on the 12 holes at Rosswood where they hit a driver, Daly outdrove all three of them every time.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Every time. And just like that, you know, you're sitting there looking at him. This before he goes on tour, you know, and I'm sitting there going, man, this guy can really play.
But did you ever think, Steve, he'd be a two-time major champion? Win the PGA?
I thought he would win 10 majors.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he was so good when he was young like that.
And what happened?
Well, you got too much money too quick. You know, when Wilson gave him that $3.5 million, that was a bad deal. And then the next thing was that, you know, he got a guy over there that fixed him up, you know, with the casinos, you know, and then they let him win a big slot machine one night and hooked the rest of the way. Everybody else gets hooked like that. And he wasted lots of money on that. But in the same instance, you can't believe all the money he's given to people.
Right.
And how good he's been to him. He's been great to me always, my whole life.
Your relationship with him.
It's always been good. I just had trouble with his old ex-wives. You know.
I'm tired of you betting him and playing for money.
No. I mean, just they were different women, you know, than like you'd go and be married to like me for 48 years, same one. You know, deal is that they'd be people that, you know, really wanted his money. He had one, the very first one. I figure she was really in love with him, you know, and would have stayed because her daddy was richer than John has ever been, you know, and so money didn't have anything to do with it. But then he met Betty, the one that lied about her age by about 10 or 12 years to him. Didn't go well.
Man.
And then I think Sinead came after that, and I just used to tell him, you know, straight up how stuff was, and if he said it around them, I mean, they, you know, had their claws out after me the rest of the time.
They're ready to come after you.
That's how I left Dardanelle was, that Sherry, you know, the one who got, that's a felon, plain and simple. She calls me up at the pro shop one day and says, I'm coming down there, and I'm going to kill John Daly and then you next. And I said, Sherry, you being a convicted felon, I said, you can't even have a gun. How are you going to do anything? You know, that made her mad.
Oh, boy.
And she raised so much hell with him for a few days that he called me. He said, man, said, you got to do something to help me. And I said, just tell her ass to call me and fire me. I said, I'm not quitting. And so
did she?
Yeah. Oh, I know, it didn't matter.
Oh, well, you've had a long career in the golfing business. You've built some golf clubs and courses well.
Right.
How'd you get into that?
It was kind of funny. I was a golf pro at Searcy Country Club and had Dr. Porter Rogers, and he asked me one day if he thought my wife Pam would move to Mountain Ranch. And my wife's an accountant, so I got to thinking about how much business might be up there, and I said, well, I had to ask her, you know.
Not a lot in Fairfield Bay.
And so I said, well, how much they want for it? And he said, $3.2 million. And I said, really? And I said, you don't have any population up there. Everybody has to come up there on the weekend, you know, Fridays, stuff like that, you know. And I said, you know, Central Arkansas doesn't have any bent grass that the public can come and pay a green fee and play. And I said, that's going to be the next up-and-coming thing in golf, because I said they got a bent grass now that make it in the summer. And I said, I've already got a golf course designed in North Little Rock off Faulkner Lake Road. And he said, let me see it. So next day I brought it to him, and he took a look at it, and he said, that's pretty interesting. And that was on a Thursday, and he called a few of his doctor buddies, and they called me on Sunday and told me I need to write a resignation letter to Searcy Country Club. We were going to do it.
Wow.
It happened from Thursday to Sunday.
Pretty quick.
And I told him we could build it for under $2 million, and we built it for $1.9 million. And it turned out to be a good deal for us. We made money with it. And then Johnny, I didn't own but 10% of it back then. And then I got Johnny Chambers from Danville to go in with me, and he bought 75 and then loaned me the money to buy 25%. We ran it, and then I went ahead and sold my part out to Chambers after a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the Sparks brothers from Benton, or Bryan area, something like that, they'd made a lot of money when it was growing out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and bought it. And that was the whole reason why I got out of it in the first place, because they were all wanting to put houses in. And I said, I don't know anything about building houses. I said, I'm a golf course builder. And yeah. I said, that's it.
I don't want to do communities or anything like that and put houses in.
No, so we went ahead and sold out and did well. Pam and I did. And then Chambers did well selling to the Sparks.
And then you get asked to help with a piece of property around Danville.
That was Johnny Chambers.
Yeah.
And he had 650 acres that sat on rolling hills. And something kind of funny I thought about was that when I worked at his place and Quapaw, my first two places, that my wife made me take every bit of my clothes off before I could come in the house in the garage, because both places had been nothing but cattle ranches.
Yep.
And so the smell of the cattle, you know, was still there, you know, even though they'd been gone a year.
Wow.
And that was kind of funny part of building it on that, but it grows good grass.
It does grow good grass, no doubt about that. Steve, I think Chamberlain Country Club in Danville is one of the most beautiful, picturesque courses in the state. I would put it up there with a Mystic Creek, a Blessings, a Lotion. Yeah, it's got great views because of Lake Maumelle and the elevation changes that it has. But I tell you, you get on the 9th tee box, you get around 17 green at Chamberlain, you get on the 18th tee box, and you look out over that valley and just the rolling hills, it's pretty.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal, really. And the people of Danville, you know, I mean, that's a small town. It just shows how, you know, a lot of people that have done well in life, they'll give back to their community. And I mean, that's a huge deal. Those people, they don't pay that much, you know, for dues. And
they've got a great pro there, too, right now, in Jason Branch.
Yeah, that's right.
I think
right.
He's one of the best.
Yeah, that's right.
In the state. Best golf course you've ever played?
Maybe. In 87, I qualified for the U.S. Amateur and the Mid-Amateur. And in the U.S. Amateur, we played Jupiter Hills.
Down in Florida.
Uh-huh. And it's the only sand dune place in Florida. It's got hills and, you know, it's all sand. And it was the hardest golf course I'd ever played. I got kidded a lot about it and made some money off of it. My first nine holes, I shot 50.
Boy.
Yeah, it was the maddest I ever been on a golf course. And then my wife told me she was going to go back to the hotel mad at me. So I said, okay, I'll calm down. So I got in 39 so I could bust 90.
Yeah.
89. That's my
smooth highest, 89.
That was my highest competitive score I ever shot. But that course was tremendously hard because you're about 500 yards off Atlantic Ocean. So you're getting that breeze just like you're on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit it out of the fairway, you're going to be in that scrub stuff. It was a whole lot like Pine Valley.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it was the hardest golf course, I think. But, you know, as far as one of the most fun, when I get in the most fun golf courses, War Memorial was one of the most fun golf courses for me because I grew up back then when we played the junior high.
Oh, yeah.
State champs.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three other golfers that you would like to play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Well, I'm not going to do family because everybody, you know, has got family and deal, but it would have been Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Gary Player.
Those three?
Yeah.
Not Ben Hogan, even though that's who you got your tips from?
No, I mean, in my day growing up, that was the big three.
Yeah.
You know, and so. That's who I wanted to play with back then, so yeah. I guess that's who I'd want to now.
Yeah. What has golf meant to Steve Holden?
It was pretty much everything. I thought it was first thing in my life that taught me what integrity was, because you had to call that penalty on you. That was something that intrigued me about golf, and, I mean, I think that all the people that ever start playing it, they realize that it changes them for the better. It really has been something in our life always, you know. I don't even know anything without it.
Yeah.
About like Josh McNulty, you know. Yeah. I mean, I feel about the same way.
It's a great game. Steve, thanks so much for your time.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity, to anticipate rather than react, to deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world, and to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. Before we get out of here, I want to thank Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, go to their website, bphotels.com, and find one that is close to your destination. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. The United States Golf Association released last year's average handicap index by state and territory, and you might be surprised to find out where Arkansas ranks. Kentucky is number 10th, Kansas 9th, Louisiana 8th, North Dakota 7th, Texas 6th, Tennessee 5th, Alabama 4th, Oklahoma 3rd. Oklahoma's average handicap index is 10.9. Kentucky's is 12.5. Mississippi is 10.7. Also at 10.7, Arkansas. Those two states have the lowest average handicap index in the country. So yes, there are some good golfers around the state of Arkansas. Make sure you have your USGA handicap index updated after every round so that you can be counted in this. That will do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.